Well, thank you for joining this publicsectorinc.org podcast. My name is Michael Allegretti. I'm the director of the Manhattan Institute's Center for State and Local Leadership. And I'm joined today by our senior fellow, Marcus Winters, who has an issue brief that has just come out, number 10, called Measuring Teacher Effectiveness, Credentials Unrelated to Student Achievement. Marcus, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
So in this issue brief, you make a rather bold declaration, which is that external teacher credentials, graduate school, various degrees that teachers accrue before going into service and during service, really have nothing to tell us about how well a teacher will perform in a classroom. Nevertheless, these things determine salaries, promotions, and most importantly, teacher tenure. Why is the system set up this way?
Well, the system got set up this way over a long period of time, and I think that part of the reason the system got set up this way is that it seems like things like earning advanced degrees and years of experience are things that should be related to teaching effectiveness. In fact, you know, education is not the only profession that pays its employees this way. The problem is that we've learned over the last several years, and our study that I write about is the latest confirming this, that what we found over the last several years is that these credentials and experience and really just about anything that we can observe about teachers tells us very little, if anything, about how effective a teacher will be in the classroom. In fact, you know, the best estimates are that only about 3% of what makes one teacher better than another is explainable by advanced degrees and other credentials, which means that 97% of what makes one teacher better than another is really just unrelated to those factors. And unfortunately, those unobserved factors are not taken into consideration when we talk about how we compensate teachers, which teachers stay in the classroom, and all of those other things that are so very important to public schools.
Now, Marcus, take me down to Florida for a moment, because I understand that the bulk of your work for this paper comes from looking at numbers in Florida. What did you see in Florida?
Well, so what we did was we have a data set that basically has every test score for a student from, I believe, 2000 through 2005 is the data that we utilize for this paper. And we focus on elementary schools because there we can tie individual students to their particular teachers over a sustained period of time. And what we do is we look at the effect that credentials have, that the teacher's credential has, whether it's related to the amount of learning that a student makes from one year to the next as measured by their standardized math and reading scores. We also make some statistical adjustments that haven't been made previously. And what we find, consistent with what other people have found, is that really these observed characteristics are just unrelated to student achievement. And one of the additions that we have in our paper is that because the Florida data set is so rich, for teachers who themselves went to a public Florida university, that we know what courses they took in college. So we can get down really fine-grained into the type of training that a teacher received even while they were in college. And even knowing that very detailed information about their training tells us very little about how effective they'll be in the classroom relative to other teachers.
Well, this is certainly not music to the ears of parents, I'm sure. What do you think as a, I don't know if you're a parent or not, Marcus, but what do you think as a researcher, at least, as to what a proper evaluation system should look like?
Well, I'm not a parent at this point, though I would say, you know, the main thing, a large finding from previous research, it wouldn't be surprising to parents, which is that there is a wide variation in the quality of teachers. So the takeaway from this, so we know that there's a wide variation in the quality of teachers, and we know that these observed characteristics tell us very little about that variation, about which teacher will be effective or not. The only thing that really does tell us a lot about how effective a teacher will be in the classroom next year is how well she's done previously. So what this points us towards, what our research and what other research has really been pointing towards for a while, is a system that instead of focusing on teacher inputs, on these credentials. We should be focusing on how effective a teacher actually is in the classroom. And one of the reasons we haven't done that in the past is that that was actually very difficult for us to observe, right? We need to rely on principals within schools to do observations, and observations told us very little until recently. But now, because of widespread standardized testing, because it's essentially universal, we have objective measures of how well a teacher is performing in the classroom. Now, they're not perfect measures at all, and they really need to be supplemented with other means of measuring teacher quality. It does provide us with an objective estimate of how well a teacher is performing, and several school systems have started, I think, properly to utilize those measures of teacher quality when deciding some important things about teachers, including whether they should receive tenure or not.
Can I interject for a moment? That all makes sense. Now, what happens for the teacher in a grossly underprivileged district? Very low-income students, decaying school, lack of supplies. Their students are obviously not doing as well, let's say, on the standardized tests as students in more affluent, better-funded districts. How would you one control for that? Is that easy to do through statistical analysis?
Well, it's easy to do, yes. I mean, so it is a misnomer about these so-called value-added measures, right, that we're disadvantaging teachers who are assigned the more difficult students, and that's not actually true. Actually, what we focus on is not how well their students are performing, as in we don't focus on the absolute test score that they have, right, because that's clearly influenced by parental interventions, wealth, SES status of the child, and other factors that have nothing to do with the school or the teacher. Instead, what we focus on is, given the students that walk through a teacher's door, how large of a gain do they make in that school year, right? So this accounts for, when we do this properly, this accounts for the teacher's contribution to the student's learning. And there's more sophisticated techniques that go in, but basically the idea that we're only rewarding teachers who are given the highest performing students and we're to the detriment of teachers who are given the most difficult to educate students is really just not the case when we talk about these methods.
Well, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it sounds to me as if the teachers' union would be a major impediment to these common sense reforms of putting kind of quality and results ahead of credentials and other external factors. Do you agree with that? Do you see evidence of that?
Oh, absolutely. So the unions have been absolutely the most important impediment to adopting these reforms, these and many other reforms, for a variety of reasons. So the unions, basically we're talking about a system that is willing to identify teachers as performing poorly, which is something that the unions have fought against for a very long time, because it's not in the best interest of some of their members. We have seen some movement from the unions, particularly AFT, trying to get behind some of these reforms, though I think it's fair to say they were pretty forced into it at this point. So yes, I mean, I think it's very fair to say that the largest push against changing the evaluation system for teachers and against using value-added and other measures of test score performance to evaluate teachers has certainly been the unions, that their opposition has been waning as these methods have been used over time, but they still stand as the biggest impediments to those reforms.
So I guess one of my big takeaways from our time together is that teaching certainly matters, and I know that is a strand that you've been looking at. Anything you want to tell us about some future work you have coming down the pike related to teachers and their impact in the classroom?
Well, as you said, Teachers Matters is exactly right, so which is the title of a book of mine that will be coming out in January, I believe, where essentially we talk about this argument in the longer form and in further detail. And essentially the idea is that what we've learned over the last, nearly two decades of research has really turned on its head what we knew about teachers. And what we've learned about teachers in the last two decades is that, one, they vary dramatically in their performance. There's the difference between being assigned to Mrs. Smith or Mrs. Johnson down the hall for a student's learning, it can be vast. can be as large of as a year's worth of learning, a grade level's worth of year learning in a given school year. And we've also learned that we know very little that would tell us which teachers are going to be most effective and which teachers are not. And what this tells us is that the current system is precisely backwards. The current system is focused on observed characteristics about a teacher, and we know that those characteristics tell us nothing about how well they actually perform. And if we want to improve student achievements in the United States, in the United States public schools, the most important thing we can do is address teacher quality by adopting real evaluations of teachers and taking those evaluations of the teacher's performance seriously and using them when we make employment decisions, such as who enters the classroom in the first place, who remains in the classroom for a sustained period of time, and how those teachers are compensated.
Well, that is fascinating, and I look forward to reading your book when it comes out in the next few months. Marcus, thank you for joining us, and to our listeners, be sure to visit www.publicsectorinc.org for the latest news and analysis about the unions in this country and the public sector employment movement and its assault on the American taxpayer. Thanks so much. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you.